Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
If they ever admit they're wrong, you should probably check if it's April Fool's Day. You're listening to the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast.
Okay, so today we're tackling a topic that honestly sends shivers down my spine just thinking about it. Narcissistic abuse. We've got some intense excerpts to dive into, and let me tell you, even a quick glance at these had me feeling like I needed a suit of armor emotionally.
Yeah, it can really feel like that, like you're constantly bracing yourself for the next attack, never knowing when it's coming or what it'll be, and I think that's what makes it so insidious.
It's like walking through a minefield blindfolded, right? You know, any step could be the one that sets everything off.
Exactly. And the worst part, that feeling of constant chaos and uncertainty, it's often completely by design. Your source material dives deep into the tactics narcissists use, and it's chilling how calculated it all is.
Give us the rundown. What are some of the big red flags someone's using this kind of calculated chaos?
Well, gaslighting is a huge one. It's all about distorting your reality, making you question your own memories and perceptions.
Ugh, gaslighting. Yeah. That's like next level manipulation. It makes me think of that scene in your source material where this guy convinces his partner she promised to go to his work event even though she vividly remembers having a prior commitment. It's like he's literally trying to rewrite her memory.
And that's exactly what they're doing. They're chipping away at your sense of reality until you start doubting yourself constantly. It's incredibly damaging.
No kidding.
Yep.
And then on top of the gaslighting, there's the emotional manipulation.
Right.
The excerpts describe this almost like they have this whole arsenal of emotional weapons at their disposal.
Yeah.
Tears, anger, withdrawing affection, you name it. They use it to get their way.
Right. It's all about control. For a narcissist, emotions are just another tool to manipulate and exploit. They know exactly which buttons to push to get the reaction they want.
It's like they study you, figure out your weaknesses, and then weaponize them against you.
Sadly, that's a pretty accurate description, and it's incredibly effective.
Huh.
Humans are wired for connection for approval. When someone we care about weaponizes that need, it cuts deep.
No wonder it leaves such lasting scars. So we've got gaslighting, emotional manipulation, and then just when you think you're dealing with one manipulator, they bring in backup dancers for this twisted tango. That's where triangulation comes in, right?
Precisely. Triangulation is all about bringing a third party into the mix to further isolate and control the victim.
So it's not enough that you're being manipulated. Now they're dragging other people into their web of distortion.
Exactly. They'll confide in friends, family, even coworkers, painting themselves as the victim and you as the problem. This isolates you even further, making it harder to reach out for help because now you've got all these doubts swirling around.
It's like they're poisoning the well of your support system. Who do you turn to when the narcissist has already planted seeds of doubt about you everywhere you look?
It's a truly insidious form of abuse.
Yeah.
And it takes a massive toll on the victim's mental health.
That's what's so heartbreaking to read about in these excerpts. We'll dive into that impact in a bit. But first, I want to hear more about these manipulation tactics. It really is like they take an emotional sledgehammer to your sense of self.
It's brutal. And the impact it has on mental health is devastating.
The excerpts talk about everything from anxiety and depression to actual physical symptoms like insomnia and digestive issues. It's like your whole system is on high alert all the time, bracing for the next attack.
Exactly. Your body's stress response is stuck in overdrive, which wreaks havoc on you both mentally and physically. And then there's the insidious way they chip away at your self-worth.
Yeah, you mentioned those backhanded compliments earlier, but it goes even deeper than that, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's death by a thousand paper cuts.
They'll subtly undermine your accomplishments, dismiss your interests, make you feel like you're always overreacting or being too sensitive.
Ugh. It's like they're constantly deflating your balloon just when you're starting to feel good about yourself.
And because it's often disguised as concern or even a joke, it's hard to call out. You start to question yourself. Maybe they're right. Maybe I am being too sensitive. Which is exactly what they want. You start doubting your own instincts, your own gut feelings. And that's when the real damage sets in.
Because it makes you dependent on them for validation. You're constantly seeking their approval, trying to win back that initial adoration they showered you with.
Speaking of what you mentioned, this whole cycle of idealization, devaluation, and discard that narcissists are known for, can you unpack that a bit?
Sure. It starts with the idealization phase. This is the love bombing stage where they shower you with attention, praise, affection. They basically put you on a pedestal, making you feel like you're the most incredible person they've ever met.
Okay. And then the rug gets pulled out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the devaluation phase. The compliments become backhanded, the praise dries up, and the criticisms start rolling in. You're left walking on eggshells, trying to figure out what you did wrong, how to get back to that initial high.
Which, of course, you never can.
Exactly. It's a moving target. They'll keep shifting the goalposts, making you feel like you're never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you don't play their game perfectly, you're discarded like yesterday's trash.
Brutal. So what's the takeaway here? How do we break free from this cycle? Because it sounds like it's incredibly difficult to escape once you're caught in it.
It is incredibly difficult, but not impossible. The first step, and this is crucial, is recognizing that you're in an abusive relationship, that this isn't normal behavior.
Which can be really hard when you've been gaslighted and manipulated for so long. You start to question your own sanity, like we were talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how empowering that moment of recognition can be. It's like a light bulb going off. Suddenly you're seeing things clearly for the first time in a long time.
Right. So once that light bulb goes off, what then? Where do you even begin to pick up the pieces and start healing? It's like you said before, recognizing it is huge. It's like, okay, this isn't just me being difficult or too sensitive. This is messed up.
Exactly. It's that aha moment where you realize you're not crazy, you're being abused.
And that's powerful. But then what? How do you actually start to break free?
Well, your source talks a lot about setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that can feel daunting, especially after someone's been steamrolling your boundaries for who knows how long.
It's like, oh, hey, you mean I'm allowed to have needs and limits? Who knew?
Right. But seriously, setting boundaries is crucial. It's about reclaiming your power, deciding what you will and will not tolerate.
Easier said than done, though, right? Especially when you're dealing with someone who's used to getting their way.
Oh, absolutely. They'll push back. They might guilt trip, manipulate, try to pull you back in, but you have to stand firm.
But how do you actually do that? It's like, what do you say? No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Well, it doesn't have to be confrontational. It's more about calmly and clearly communicating your limits. Like, I'm not comfortable talking about this right now, or I need some space.
So simple, yet I bet it feels terrifying in the moment.
It can be, but it gets easier with practice.
Mm.
And the more you assert your boundaries, the more empowered you'll feel.
It's like you're building up that emotional muscle memory.
Exactly. And sometimes just the act of setting those boundaries becomes the catalyst for leaving the relationship altogether.
Which honestly, after everything we've learned about narcissistic abuse, it's hard to imagine any other way out.
Right. It often becomes clear that staying in that toxic environment is just going to cause more harm.
But leaving sounds terrifying too. The excerpts talk about retaliation, and that's not something to take lightly.
No, it's not. Narcissists can be incredibly vengeful. That's why having a safe exit plan is so crucial.
Okay, so what does a safe exit plan even look like in this situation?
Well, it starts with addressing the practicalities. Finances, living arrangements, especially if children are involved.
Because you know they're going to use everything and everyone they can as leverage.
Exactly. That's why it's often helpful to seek legal advice as well, just to protect yourself and your rights.
So you've got your plan, you're prepared for potential backlash. What about the actual moment you leave? Any advice for that?
Your source emphasizes minimizing confrontation. Remember, narcissists feed off of emotional reactions. A calm, unemotional departure is best, even if it feels impossible in the heat of the moment.
Okay, bye. I'm out of here. Have a nice life.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then comes the challenge of staying away.
Because I imagine once they realize they're losing control, the hoovering starts.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. They'll pull out all the stops.
Yeah.
Apologies, promises to change, maybe even try to rekindle that initial love bombing phase.
It's like those nature documentaries where the predator lures its prey back in with a tasty looking treat.
Ugh, perfect analogy. It's all a manipulation tactic. And as tempting as it might be to fall for it, you have to resist.
Because this time you're not just walking away from them, you're walking towards yourself.
Now you're talking. That's what this whole healing journey is all about. Reclaiming your narrative, rediscovering who you are outside of that toxic relationship.
It's like you said before, it's emotional rehab.
Exactly. And one of the most powerful tools for that rehab is therapy. Having a safe space to unpack the trauma, rebuild your self-esteem, learn to trust yourself again.
Because that's got to be one of the hardest parts, right? Learning to trust your gut again after it's been so deliberately undermined.
Absolutely. But it's possible. With time, support, and a lot of self-compassion, you can heal those wounds.
And that's the message I really want people to take away from this deep dive. Healing is possible. It takes work. It takes time. But you are not alone. And you are worthy of love and respect.
Yes to that. And remember, this experience, however painful, can be a catalyst for incredible growth. You're coming out of this stronger, wiser, with a deeper understanding of yourself and what you deserve.
So to everyone listening who might be struggling with the aftermath of narcissistic abuse, please know that you are not alone. Your experiences are valid and your healing matters.
And remember, there are resources available to support you on your journey. Don't hesitate to reach out for help.
That's right. And on that note, I think we've earned ourselves a nice, calming cup of tea after this heavy but incredibly important conversation.
Couldn't agree more.
Trying to explain your feelings to a narcissist is like talking to a wall, a very self-absorbed wall. You're listening to the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast.
Ever get that feeling? Yeah. Like that shiver down your spine that something is just off, even when you can't explain why? That's what we're diving deep into today, but like amped up 1,000 times.
Yeah.
We're tackling narcissistic abuse. And not just someone who's a little vain, right? This is next level stuff. Calculated manipulation, the kind that leaves scars. We're lucky enough to have an expert with us for this one.
It's not just about a bad relationship, is it? It's like a strategy. These folks, they're playing the long game. And it can take years to unpack the damage.
Exactly. And to unpack all of this, we're diving into a letter sent to the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast. It's a real eye-opener. The writer, he got out of this toxic marriage, but not without a story. And he starts by saying how he missed all the signs or, like, explained them away, which, come on, haven't we all been there? Especially, and this hit home for me when you're trying to hold it together for the kids.
Oh, absolutely. You want to believe the best, right?
Right.
But early on, narcissistic abuse is almost designed to make you feel crazy. It's subtle. So by the time it's obvious, you're already doubting yourself.
He talks about that, wanting to keep the peace, manage her moods. But then he gets into these stories and it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, she accused him of cheating, but not just regular jealousy. This is, he's on a business trip across the country and she's convinced he flew back to have an affair with the neighbor.
It's wild, right? It's almost like they need to believe you have superpowers just to catch you out. But it's not about the actual infidelity, is it? It's the control. You're so busy defending yourself, you don't see the bigger picture.
And it gets weirder. He's driving their kids to school, right? And she accuses him of a parking lot rendezvous during that time. He had timestamps, messages, the whole nine yards to prove it was impossible.
And that's the insidious part, you see. Your brain wants to make sense of it. So you start questioning everything, even your own memory.
It's like choosing between your sanity and the relationship, which is messed up. And the kids were seeing this all play out, which just adds another layer, you know? And his family, they were all for staying together, for the kids' sake, of course. But even they started realizing how toxic it had become, and it all came to a head during a family dinner. His wife, typical, making it all about her, and his sister finally cracks. Just a simple, hey, not everything has to be about you.
And that's when the facade crumbles.
Right.
Right? Because under all that confidence, it's just insecurity.
Yeah.
And criticism. They can't handle it.
He said she just snapped. Stormed out, yelling about being ungrateful, the whole dramatic exit. But here's the kicker, gone for hours, nobody knew where she was.
Classic move. That silent treatment, that's not taking a break, it's calculated. Think about it. When you're ignored, it creates this anxiety, this need to fix it.
Mm.
And they feed off of that, you see.
They ended up calling the police, genuinely worried. Turns out, she's in the hospital, found walking into traffic. Now you'd think, okay, turning point, she needs help.
Sadly, no. This is where it gets even darker, you see, because now it's manipulation on another level.
Mm.
By making it this big, dramatic scene, she's the victim, even though her actions caused the whole thing.
And it gets worse. He later found out she wasn't even trying to hurt herself. Pure performance. Attention-seeking, designed to make them feel sorry for her. And shift the blame, of course. But this whole hospital thing, that was the wake-up call he needed, you know? Staying wasn't protecting the kids, it was showing them this messed-up version of love. Where manipulation was just part of the deal. It's tough, right? Realizing walking away is just the start. Our letter writer, he left with his kids, but that's when the real work began.
Because it doesn't just vanish, does it? That feeling, the self-doubt, the messed up reality.
Mm-hmm.
It stays with you.
Like he said, he had to unlearn the damage. And to do that, he had to break down the tactics, like a playbook of manipulation. And the first one, those cheating accusations, I mean, it was never really about that, was it?
Not even close. It's about keeping you off balance. Think about it. Every accusation, you're defending yourself, you don't see what's really happening.
He even says he catches himself over-explaining things now, even after the divorce.
See? That's how deep it goes. That erosion of self-trust, that's what makes the next tactic so effective.
Which is?
Gaslighting. Now, I'm not sure if everyone's familiar.
Oh, please explain it. For the uninitiated among us.
Basically, they deny your reality. They deny things you both know happened. Twist your words. Lie.
Yeah.
But with this confidence, right? So you start questioning yourself.
He talks about catching her in lies, flat out, and she'd somehow turn it around on him.
Classic. It's like they're trying to break your sense of reality, make you the crazy one.
And just when you think it can't get more twisted, he mentions the silent treatment.
Yes. We've all been ignored, but this is different.
It's weaponized, right? After any disagreement, bam, silence.
Exactly. Punishment. It's about controlling your emotions. Think about it. Someone you care about goes silent. You get anxious.
Yeah.
You want to fix it. That's what they use.
He said the agony of not knowing, the desperation to just get her to talk.
Of course, that was the goal all along.
Yeah.
Keeps the focus on them. You're walking on eggshells, always guessing.
And this ties into, he calls it the victim complex. Like, he always felt responsible for her emotions, couldn't discuss anything about her behavior.
Because it always comes back to them being wronged. Accountability. Forget it. They're the martyr.
Here's the crazy part, though. With all this manipulation, the negativity, there were good times, too.
Right. That's what makes it so hard.
He called it love bombing, which, I mean, sounds almost nice.
That's the point. It plays on our desire for connection. It's the honeymoon phase on steroids. Over-the-top affection, gifts, compliments.
Intoxicating.
But then, just as quickly.
Gone. Hey. Withdrawal. They go cold, leaving you confused, craving that high again.
It's like a cycle, right? Designed to keep you hooked.
Exactly. And all the while, your self-worth is slowly being chipped away.
It's insidious, right? Like, they build this whole web around you, strand by strand, and you don't even realize it's happening until you're stuck.
But he got out. And that's what's important to remember here.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, right? You can't fight what you don't see.
He says he had to, like, unlearn the damage, which, I mean, easier said than done.
Oh, for sure. It's not like you leave and poof, everything's fine. It takes time.
He mentions still catching himself over-explaining things. And it's like, dude, no one's accusing you anymore.
That's how ingrained it becomes. So self-compassion is key, you know? Be kind to yourself.
He also talked about boundaries, which, duh, makes sense.
Huge. If you've been in a situation where your boundaries were constantly violated, you have to relearn them. Saying no, prioritizing yourself, that's not selfish, it's healthy.
It's like his whole journey, you know, yes. Coming out of that darkness stronger.
It proves how resilient we are,
yeah,
even when we doubt it ourselves.
And I loved this line from the letter. He says, you're not crazy, it's not in your head, and it's not your fault. Which, like, if you needed to hear that today, there it is.
And if any of this resonated, if you related even a little, You are so not alone. There's hope. Healing is possible. What takes work, often therapy helps. But it's achievable. Never forget that.
Man, heavy stuff, but so glad we unpacked it. Sometimes just hearing it out loud.
Exactly. You realize you're not alone, and that can be huge.
So if you take away just one thing from this whole deep dive, it's this. You are worthy of love, respect, boundaries. All of it. Don't settle for less.
Amen to that. Because sometimes realizing you deserve better is the bravest, most powerful thing you can do.
And that's a wrap. Until next time, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook for more. And remember, the best revenge is living well without them.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.